Hey everybody, John Greenwald here with an update that's a little bit unexpected, I would say. In this last week, the Department of Defense had sent an email to myself and quite a few others. I don't know how many are on the mailing list, but they gave us all a heads up about a new office, essentially the successor to the UAP Task Force, which is now entitled the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group, or AOIMSG, which replaces, again, the UAP Task Force. Now, for those who are not following this all the time, the UAP Task Force is that group, that internal group from the Department of Defense, run by the Department of the Navy, that essentially looks into unidentified aerial phenomena, or UFOs. Now, we've heard very little about it in the sense that they're very secretive. They are keeping all of the UFO cases hidden. We don't know how many there really are. We do know the June of this year, of 2021, the June report had talked about 144 cases that went into the development of that report. So essentially, they were analyzing that number. But we don't know if that was 10%, 100%, a fraction of a penny, a fraction of a percent, not a penny. But we don't know, you know, how many there are and how many that they've looked at. The 144 number was kind of a surprise because 143 of them, according to them, remained unidentified. And so there was no answer to them. So that a little bit was a surprise. I'll get into the memo, but that report then sparked a few other things in motion, which is the news of the day. Now, let me pull up that message that we got with the DOD was accompanied by this memorandum. Now, I'm going to read this to you because I'm going to drop this to audio form too. For those of you who are listening on the podcast, just know I do these live. So go to theblackvault.com/live. That will bounce you to the YouTube channel. And that way, maybe next time you all can get involved and use the call-in lines and have fun in a live setting. But I'm going to go ahead and read this to you because it's important. It's a little over a page, so it won't take too long. But I think that this will give the best understanding over what they are announcing. Now, the memo itself is November 23rd, 2021. This was a memorandum for the senior Pentagon leadership, commanders of the combatant commands, defense agency, and field activity directors. The subject, establishment of the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. It's a tongue twister. The presence of unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP, in special use airspace, or SUA, designated in accordance with 14 CFR Part 73, represents a potential safety of flight risk to aircrews and raises potential national security concerns. Accordingly, I direct the Under Secretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security to establish the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group to synchronize efforts across the department and with other federal departments and agencies to detect, identify, and attribute objects of interest in SUAs, and to assess and, as appropriate, mitigate any associated threats to safety of flight and national security. To provide oversight and direction to the AOIMSG, I established the Airborne Object Identification and Management Executive Council, or AOIMEXEC. I laugh because these acronyms are out of control. The USDINS will be the lead DOD official responsible for management of this process, will co-chair the AOIMEXEC along with the Director of Operations, Joint Staff, and will invite principal-level participation from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Resourcing for this requirement will be addressed in the program budget review process. The director, AOIMSG, hereafter referred to as the director, will synchronize the activities among the Office of the Secretary of Defense and DOD components and with other U.S. government departments and agencies to minimize safety of flight and national security concerns associated with UAP or other airborne objects in SUA. The director, with support from the OSD and DOD component leads, will address this problem by standardizing UAP incident reports across the department. identifying and reducing gaps in operational intelligence detection capabilities, collecting and analyzing operational intelligence and counterintelligence data, collecting and analyzing statutory changes as appropriate, identifying approaches to prevent or mitigate any risks posed by airborne objects of interest and other activities as deemed necessary by the director. Additionally, the director, in coordination with the OSD and DoD component leads, or heads, I should say, will identify requirements and recommended changes in doctrine, organization, training, material, leadership, personnel, workforce, facilities, and resources to be brought to the AOI-MEXEC for review, consideration, and implementation, as appropriate, by the applicable DoD component head. Effective immediately, the AOI-MEXEC, in coordination with the OSD and DoD component heads, will manage the transition of the current UAP task force to the AOI-MSG. The AOI-MEXEC will designate an active director of the AOI-MSG and will submit implementation guidance for my approval. This guidance will specify organizational membership, roles, responsibilities, and authorities for the AOI-MSG, AOI-MEXEC, and OSD and DoD components. Kathleen Hicks, and it was CC'd to the Director of National Intelligence. Man, oh man, those acronyms are out of control. And yes, I truly believe at this point the acronyms are so out of control by design. That way, it makes it incredibly hard for all of us to continue to talk about it. UFOs are pretty much rolling off the tongue. UAPs, just as easy to talk about. ATIP, OSAP, yeah, those are pretty easy to reference. Now you're getting into all these other ones that are just outrageously long. And from a research standpoint, when you constantly change the terminology, it makes researching and investigation that much harder for people like myself. So in other words, if you keep changing the program name, the offices, who's in charge, your paper trail is fractured into 12,000 different directions. And that is by design. I mean, we can clearly establish a cover-up and can comfortably do so with evidence that has been legally obtained, not anything leaked. We can prove that beyond any shadow of a doubt, and it stretches back decades. Now what we're seeing is a mess. I mean, it's an absolute, utter mess. And with this change, albeit it is very exciting, makes it incredibly difficult to try and figure out what in the world is going on, in the sense that who's in charge at this point? Who now do the UAP reports go to? And when you fracture that paper trail, it makes it more challenging. Now, I always say challenge accepted. I love that kind of stuff. But a lot of people will give up talking about it because they're so frustrated because it becomes so confusing, or give up because it does become incredibly challenging to track down and trace down exactly where all of this is going. And when it is changing every couple of years now, that makes it that much more difficult. Now, that's kind of the bad thing about this, but also there's a very much a positive thing about this. And that is the fact that they are creating this office, that this seems to be a more permanent UAP task force, so to speak, and something that will give me a paper trail, at least a fractured part of the paper trail, but a paper trail nonetheless, that they will be taking these UAP reports in, that they will be taking them seriously, that they will be looking into them. There will be an office that is established just for this. That is the good thing. So when we hone in on the recent developments, that paper trail leads to one office, at least for now. Where my challenge comes in, and that's where the challenging part is that when you, instead of focusing on just recent developments, and let's say go back to the last 5, 10 to 15 years, you can see a much more fractured paper trail. So it gets more challenging to essentially track stuff down. Now, there's a lot of rumor, speculation, some positive spin, some negative spin, some really upset people out there. And if you use social media, you'll see the bigger names chiming in on what their different stances are. Now, I'll be honest with you, although I do have a stance, and we can get into this a little bit, none of us are fortune tellers. none of you watching, well, maybe a couple of you, give me a call. I mean, I can always use some psychics, but none of us know what really is ultimately going to happen. And what I kind of, I used the word entertaining the other day, and I'll get into that tweet. And boy, that upset a lot of people. But for me, it is entertaining where people are acting as those fortune tellers that they know what's going to happen, that if this happens or that happens, then this is going to happen. Well, none of us know, right? I mean, we just don't. We have to go step by step and figure out what is going on. And this is a positive development in the sense that it is concrete. It has happened. It does not require a future vote. There's no speculation here on will it happen. No, it has happened. And that's how my mindset is. And I think that that gets me in trouble with some people where they hate that I look at the now versus pretend I know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think that that's what a lot of people are doing right now. We don't know how this is going to unfold. But there is one thing I can promise you that I would bet money on, and that is going to be secrecy. And I think that the secrecy will prevail no matter what in this topic. It just will. This is not something that is getting easier, but rather it is getting harder. Now, going back to the formation of this new, again, we'll call it UAP Task Force successor, this goes all the way back to the June report. And I think some people forgot about this. And that is the June 25th memo that was also signed by the same Kathleen Hicks, Deputy Secretary of Defense, to essentially take that UAP report and within the DOD take the next step on creating and formulating an effort like this. There's a lot of speculation that it is attacking Kirsten Gillibrand and her amendment that's now sponsored by a couple other senators. I don't see it that way. And the reason is the paper trail shows that here. I'll show you here on screen. I won't read the whole thing for you on this one, but this is the June 25th memo signed by Kathleen Hicks. And she had asked for the following to be established. Number one, establish procedures to synchronize collection, reporting, and analysis on the UAP problem set, and to establish recommendations for securing military test and training ranges. Number two, identify requirements for the establishment and operation of the new activity to include the organization alignment, resources, and staffing required, as well as any necessary authorities and a timeline for implementation. Number three, be developed in coordination with the principal staff assistants, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the secretaries of the military departments, and the commanders of the combatant commands, and with the DNI and other relevant interagency partners. Essentially, she was saying, hey, we need to create a much more established procedure, and that is the result of this. Was it an attack on Kirsten Gillibrand and her her effort to try and better inform the general public with some transparency, but also better tackle the UAP issue, which she felt is very important, hence why she created the language. So I don't see it that way just simply because the paper trail doesn't lie. The paper trail shows in June that they were aiming to establish something like this. The timing, which I know some people are saying, well, this is a clear attack on Gillibrand and her efforts, and they're trying, they meaning the Pentagon and the DOD, are essentially trying to clamp down and solidify that they are at the helm of this and that they will continue the secrecy. I just don't see it that way. Let me pull this question from Skyhawk88. And Skyhawk, thank you so much for supporting the channel. John, with this, is the Pentagon trying to circumvent pending legislation oversight via Senator Gillibrand's amendment? So obviously I'm getting into that, but Skyhawk, I did want to show my appreciation for your support of the channel. And to better expand on it, I don't see it just simply because going back to that paper trail, the paper trail doesn't lie. The timing with the Gillibrand amendment and how it's kind of been rewritten a couple times and so on and so forth, that's obviously going on right now. And the timing seems strange. In the same respect, I find the timing expected. Drop the news by the DOD on a holiday week at like, I think it was like 6:30 PM when I got it in California. So they had dropped it about 9:30 or so, Eastern time, Pentagon time. That to me is the humorous part. That's the timing. So on Friday nights, you see a lot of stuff dropped. More bombshelly, you know, headlines that are going to arise from this. You see that on holidays. So you see that obviously with something UAP or UFO related. So they do that Thanksgiving week where news cycles are kind of dead. You know, you see the major newscasters, they're all on vacation. Those that are doing the same news programs are all kind of the, you know, the backup team and so on. So, and it's because the ratings are a lot lower during this week. So the attention that it garners is a lot less. So the timing for me, and this is just my opinion, but this is proven by decades worth of looking at these types of drops and revelations given out by the Pentagon, is that they plan it this way to do it on holiday weeks and Friday nights and stuff where news cycles are either over or dead. And that's what I think about the timing on this. Others felt that it was a shot at Gillibrand and essentially her effort with this amendment. I don't see it that way. Again, none of us are fortune tellers. We really don't know, but it is what it is. Now, one thing I'll bring up here, which I posted on Twitter, and this is where it got a little bit, I think I've offended a couple people by saying that it was entertaining. Here's what I posted. Watching the back and forth on who should control UAP research from within the U.S. government is entertaining. If you all think one side of the government will be more transparent than the other, regardless of what branch they are, you haven't been paying attention. Now, this was, you know, more or less to create dialogue and conversation. But here was my overall point, and I'll get into a much expanded version. But in short, the secrecy has been rampant from every corner of the government and military and has been for decades. And when you deal with just the last couple of years and just that, we won't go back to, you know, the Blue Book era and Condon Committee and all that. Just now, it's getting worse. And so just because congressmen, senators, politicians, whomever wants to say or create an effort to get transparency surrounding this issue, it doesn't mean that we will ultimately have the absolute truth in the end. And although I am excited, I think that the Gillibrand Amendment is very worthwhile. It's very welcome. I want to see it pass. I want to see these yearly reports. We have to remember, look at June as a provable, documented example. And that documented example was a congressionally mandated report on UAPs. What did we learn? Did we learn nuggets? Absolutely. Was it helpful? Absolutely. Do we have what really is going on now? Do we understand? Absolutely not. So these yearly reports, let's say this all passes, those would be great. Don't get me wrong. That's a big win. But I think a lot of people are framing this that, well, if the Gillibrand Amendment goes, we'll get much more transparency. If the DOD handles it, then we'll get much more secrecy. I'm here to tell you, you're going to get the same level of secrecy no matter what. I honestly believe that. And I think that history and documentation proves that. I am all for lifting the shroud of secrecy. But will it happen and give us the absolute truth? I just don't see it. Now, to give you guys an alternative view, my tweet was not directed at Mr. Luis Elizondo, although some people, of course, tried to accuse me of like attacking his viewpoint. Truth be told, I had no idea that Mr. Elizondo had tweeted about it. I just put mine out there. And then, of course, you know, Twitterverse takes over and goes, you know, here you are going at Mr. Elizondo again, which I wasn't. I didn't even know his viewpoint. But I felt it was interesting, so I wanted to read it to you guys. It was a little bit fractured. He tweets kind of a single tweet at a time. He doesn't thread it. So what I did is I threaded it here for you. So here's a different take, so you guys can see the alternative view. Again, this was posted by Luis Elizondo, November 24th. Important update. Before anyone gets too excited about the recent Pentagon announcement of a new UAP group, please consider the following. USDI is precisely the same organization that has underplayed and tried to kill the UAP effort for years. USDI is an oversight organization and non-operational. Nowhere is there a requirement to provide unclassified findings to Congress or work with our international partners. Given that elements still exist in the Pentagon who are actively underplaying the significance of this topic, this is akin to giving an alcoholic the key and control to the liquor cabinet. If you want to maintain UAP/UFO secrecy, this is exactly how you do it. This is a direct and blatant attempt to circumvent and undermine the Senate. And he tagged Senator Gillibrand, Marco Rubio, Ruben Gallego, Martin Heinrich, and Tim Burchett, I apologize if I mispronounce that, and others. Back to his quote. Please, please, please contact your representatives and let them know this is unacceptable and not in the best interest of the American people. The USDI is the one single office that has continually lied about this topic and persecuted whistleblowers. So that's kind of an alternative view, but where I would just respectfully disagree. The USDI is the one single office that has continuously lied about this topic and persecuted whistleblowers. I'm not really sure what whistleblowers were persecuted, so I'd love to see some expansion on that. I believe Mr. Elizondo does not consider himself a whistleblower, even though the mainstream media has tagged him as such. I believe he has spoken out rather strongly about that, but be that as it may, I'm not sure if he's referencing himself there or somebody else, but USDI is the one single office that has continuously lied. The U.S. government as a whole has continually lied about this topic and has for decades. It is backed up by press statements, spokespeople, and documentation that has come out through the Freedom of Information Act, along with those that have come out and talked about their personal experiences in the military and what they've encountered. That said, it's not just USDI. In addition, when you look at the congressional side and the legislative branch, they are not that much better. There's a reason why during a campaign, they essentially preach about transparency, but once they get in, they sit on classified, sit in on classified settings all the time. Do they tell you and I about it? Of course not. And the UAP issue is definitely one of those that they have talked about. And let me go ahead and read to you guys what I wrote in response to essentially we'll call it backlash, I guess, for saying that, hey, look, this isn't a bad thing on what's going on, but it's not going to give us the ultimate truth. And here was my expansion on it, and I feel it's important to read. I know this tweet upset some, but let me add more to properly explain what I meant. Legislative mandates, initiatives, bills, etc. are trumped by national security. I am excited to see how this all plays out when it comes to UAP transparency, but we need to be realistic. I posted yesterday about how the 1960s played out very similar to today, and we ended up with the Condon Report. Will this be the same? I'm no fortune teller, nor is anyone, so who really knows? I just choose to be cautiously optimistic. But let me use a modern, non-UFO example. President Trump, who sat in the highest office of the land, had the desire to release all JFK assassination files. He had a history of rocking the boat in D.C., and this appeared to be part of the intent. However, national security won in the end, and secrecy prevailed. Despite what you think of Trump, he rocked the boat, plain and simple. So if this was explosive, it would be him that would light the fuse. Yet national security trumped even Trump. So being realistic is not pessimistic. It's just being real in the face of reality. Bringing it back to UFOs, politicians know the UAP-UFO issue is hot and will garner votes. Sorry, but we all need to admit that's true. So even the intent to have transparency will not magically trump national security, but it will score them points with the voters. It's why senators/congressmen will preach transparency during the election season, but most will sit on committees that have numerous classified settings or sessions that they never tell you or I about. And some of those of late have been on the UFO/UAP issue. There's been no push to declassify what was learned in those sessions by anyone. Transparency push? Yes. Declassification push? No. There is a difference. So the public will get reports, and that is a triumph and a win. I won't hide from that, nor should anyone. However, the false hope that this is all going to lead to the ultimate truth, where we learn all the secrets, is likely not going to happen. But generic reports with little revealed, like the one in June, can lead to legal pushes for information through FOIA, and that's a win. But all this leading to a public that can lean back in their chairs and wait for the ultimate truth to be revealed? I'm sorry, but I do not believe there is a chance. There are many aspects of this that are exciting and awesome, but some are making it something that it is not. So with that, that was my response and expansion. All of this is exciting. It really is. It's going to generate a lot of what I call FOIA fodder to go after. And that's what's exciting about this. But we also have to be realistic about our expectations. And that's what's kind of, I would say, worrisome, that I think people think, oh, DOD bad, Congress good. Well, I don't like the whole bad and good descriptors for either of those, but secrecy prevails on both sides. And like I said in this expansion of the tweet, I'm sorry, the congressmen and senators and so on that are preaching transparency and they want openness, they are not coming out of those classified briefings telling us anything about them. And I think the point being is that there's been real no push to declassify. It's just the push to have more transparency. And although that's a good thing, that still, I think, will not give us the ultimate truth. So that is the update on what's going on now and what may happen in the future. And one of my closing thoughts to you guys is this. A lot of people want me to focus on the Gillibrand Amendment and what that could potentially provide all of us. And although I think it is a great effort to contact representatives, and I encourage you all to do it. I was a big supporter and am a big supporter of the Big Phone Home. I was involved in that. I tried to give him, Luis Jimenez and his entire crew, as much support as I could for that effort, because I think it's very worthwhile. So I don't want to take away from that. But sadly, I just think that the congressmen and senators show as much secrecy, I think, as the government agencies we love to persecute. And that's where I say that we need to keep this in perspective. But the problem with focusing on the Gillibrand Amendment, despite what I say about secrecy, is that it hasn't happened yet. And when it comes to me, and this isn't the right way or the wrong way, it's just the way that I operate, is I can't go off of possibilities of tomorrow. I have to go off of the reality of today. So that DOD memo, I can act on that. A Gillibrand Amendment that hasn't passed yet, that means nothing to me from an investigative standpoint. It's exciting, and I'm encouraged by it, but it doesn't mean anything yet until it is signed. Once it's signed, we go from there. Until then, all we have is today. All we have is what is written in stone and essentially concrete and unfolding. And as much as people hate the DOD getting involved, their paper trail goes back to June, that they were going to do this effort and that they were going to create essentially this office and establish a more, I guess, structured way that they're going to research all of this and go from there. That is something that I can act on. But the Gillibrand Amendment, albeit exciting, I cannot. And that's why I kind of veer away from it for now, until it becomes concrete. I did the same thing with the UAP report before it passed. And then obviously it passed and we got that UAP report and we dealt with that when it came. But until it passes, absolutely, we can't do anything except just get excited and cheer them on, which I'm all for doing. So please do it. Write your representatives. But until then, nothing we can do. So that's my closing thought. Thank you all for tuning in. As always, if you can give a thumbs up for these videos, huge help to me. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And the biggest help of all is making sure that you spread the word about this very channel. This is John Greenwald Jr. signing off, and we'll see you next time.